Pigweed here. Today we review a tavern ale and discuss the Flashman incident. Hello and welcome to Beer in Conversation with Pigweed and Crow Hill. Good evening, Crow Hill.
Good evening, Pigweed.
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, there's this great new service called Chirp, where you can get cheap audiobooks. And so if you guys haven't heard of it, check it out. Chirp. It's pretty cool. And they have audiobooks for like $2.99, $3.99. Mm-hmm. Typically, they're a lot more expensive than that. So I got Uncle Tom's Cabin, and I was listening to it. And today was a nice, cool day. So I was on doing something that I could listen to the book and also work at the same time. So I had the book playing. I had my window open. And I was thinking, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin is replete with a word that we're not supposed to say.
Yes, and it's not Voldemort.
No, it's not Voldemort or Yahweh. And, you know, people walk by. I mean, my office is in the front of my house. The window's open. People are walking by out front. And here's this word coming out on this, this thing. And it makes me wonder, like, should I be doing this?
Right. I mean, could it develop into an incident?
Could it develop into an incident? That's the question.
Yes, like, here's just a guy thinking he's just casually listening to a classic book in his home, and next thing you know, he's the pariah of the neighborhood.
All of a sudden, there's like, people with automatic weapons in my front yard or something. Yeah.
Well, that does remind me of the local story we have here called the Flashman incident.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's the same kind of concept.
I
think everybody knows about that one.
Well, I mean, it started here. It has had some national attention and some international attention, really. But I'm not sure, you know, how far it reaches beyond this area. So we'll recap it.
Yeah, okay. Good. All right. But in the meanwhile, we have to take a try of my tavern ale, which this beer started off as a California common.
Yes.
And I have modified the recipe over time. I realized after a while that it was really outside the range of California common. It's more like an English IPA.
But you didn't want to then remodify your recipe to fit the California common. You say, I like this beer.
It's good.
Leave it alone.
I'm going to leave it alone and just change the name. So I stopped calling it a California common. And this, what we're drinking, is the only bottle of it. I usually keg. The entire rest of the batch is in a keg.
All right.
And so you had a little bit of this at Oktoberfest on the tap.
Yes, and it's a very Oktoberfest-y beer. It reminds me of those Oktoberfest Marzens and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's got a coppery color, and
it's coppery, and it's more malty than hoppy, but the hops are definitely there. You get some nice bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, I would say a little bit sticky on the finish.
A little bit.
In a good way, you know, the flavor hangs in there.
You know what's funny is when I first opened and poured it, I got just a little bit of an off smell, but it seems to have gone away. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, you know, that's it. That is a feature of home brews, and I don't get it. And the thing is, that's what happens. You pour it, you immediately take the first sip, you're like, this isn't that great. Then you leave it on the counter for 3 minutes.
Yeah, and it's fine.
And it's gone.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a sanitation thing, but I don't know what else it would be.
Right. Maybe we need to do some research on that.
Yeah. All
right. Anyway, this is one of my crowd-pleasing beers. It's one of my long-standing things I've been brewing for a long time. Turned out pretty well. All right, so give us some background on this.
The Flashman thing? Well, first off, let me preface it with, sometimes it's a bit odd starts as a local story, and what gets, how does something that seems like a local story gets picked up by a national news outlet? The next thing you know, people are concerned about really a story that's not that big a deal. This missing woman from Florida. What's her name?
Gabby Petito or something.
I mean, there are people go missing all the time.
Right.
And
it's sad and all that.
It is. But the news doesn't. Well, there's no room in the news cycle to follow everyone
right
to the nth degree.
And that's what the local news is for.
Yeah. But there's some
every once in a while, a local story all of a sudden becomes a national one, and that's similar to the Flashman things.
It is, and because, well, how do you want to start this?
Well, so let's go
with the facts.
Yeah. So, go ahead. So the interesting thing was, you know, we heard about the story because it was a local thing, and then Hunter Allen wrote this good expose on the whole thing. And that's kind of what we're gonna base the show on, is his expose of what happened. But anyway, it began very simply. It was just this guy Bob. His father wanted to clear out his attic, so he goes to his father's house. He's helping him clear stuff out, and he finds a box of old books.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered that on a drive to work, he passes a lot of those little tiny libraries.
They're just free used books, right?
Yeah, it's great. They're fantastic. It's like a big birdhouse, you know? and people just put books in there, and you can put one in, you can take one. And I've used them from time to time. I think they're great. So Bob remembers these tiny library things, and he says, you know, I'll put a few of them in there, and then the rest I'll just give to Goodwill, and that'll be the end of that. So that was his plan. He took this box of books, stuck it in his car. Driving to work, he distributed some books here and there and put it in the... And that, you know,
and one of the books is called Flashman.
Right. Yeah. So that should have been the end of it. Not
much of a story so far.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So then, day one.
Right.
According to Hunter Allen, a little Pedro Wilson loved to read adventure stories.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his big thing. Anything you see a sword. You know, somebody in a uniform.
Some swashbuckling.
Yeah, a ship in the background, pirates, all that. That was his thing. So
healthy young boy.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes to the local tiny library, and he pulls out this book with a cover that has this British officer in a fancy uniform with a sword.
Right.
And he says, this is my kind of
thing. And a lovely woman at his side.
Yes. But Pedro was really more attracted to just the swashbuckling side of it. So he says, this is great. He takes it home and starts reading it.
Right.
You know, good for Pedro. But then, day two, Pedro takes the book with him to school so he can read in his free time. Because Pedro's a smart kid. He gets done with his stuff quickly, and he has some extra time on his hands, so he likes to bring a book to school so he can read. Now, Pedro's teacher, I think her name was Miss Hughes, sees the book and says, Pedro, this is great that you're taking, you know, you're reading on your own. You're not only reading the things that we assign in class, right, but you're picking up other stuff and reading it. That's fantastic. But.
Yes. Flashman is not exactly kiddie reading.
Right. So she says, you know, she says, can I look at it? And she looks at the book and she's flipping through it. And she sees some language in the book that disturbs her. Now, the book itself, I guess we should... Should we give some background on the book?
Yeah. Because, all right. So, I'm going to tease this a little bit. It's becoming hard to get. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we figured, well, let's see what all the hubbub is about.
Right.
And so, George MacDonald Fraser mm-hmm. wrote this. So, what's the original character of Harry Flashman? Is it from a famous... It's from a famous novel of the 1800s.
Oh, is it? I didn't know.
Yeah. So, this kid, Harry Flashman, it's about him in boarding school, and he gets kicked out of school, and he imagines, what would this kid have been grown up to be like?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes. Yes, it's...
Okay, well, I didn't know that background.
Yeah. Yes. So he's like...
Flashman got kicked out of boarding school for fighting and whatnot.
And so this particular book is the first in the series, so he's just been kicked out.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be a takeoff of famous 18...
But there's like 8 or 9 books in the series.
Right,
right. Yeah.
Right.
So it's fairly popular. So, but it was about Flashman, his early military career, and going off to Afghanistan.
He's in the... So this is the 1830s. So this is colonial Britain, mm-hmm. where they colonized both India and Afghanistan.
Right.
And so after getting in trouble and escaping a number of times, he feels like... It's time to get all the way. No, he gets kicked out of the Scottish regiment.
Right.
And they send him to India. Lord, and he's very dismissive of the culture and the people there.
Right.
From there, he goes on to Afghanistan, and he is equally dismissive.
Yes.
And refers to
the locals.
The locals the local servant class, yes. You know, because he's a British upper crust.
Right.
And yeah, who knows? He might even do this for British working class right. people. Yeah.
Refers to them with the N-word.
Yeah. Yeah. Just very casually, right. just them, and it's nothing kind to say about their culture or their people
right.
in both. And so it's what you would call very non-PC.
Not politically correct. So getting back to day two here, Miss Hughes borrows the book from Pedro, picks right. it up, opens it up, sees the N-word in there, and is like, ooh, and then right. is immediately right. upset. And
then then the story, you know, people don't wait for the real story, yeah. right? So it's assumed that the story has come from the library.
And well, she asked him where he got it. He said he got it from the library.
Right,
he meant the little library.
Yeah, right. The free library box. Yeah. So, you know, of course, I guess the woman could have just looked to the back of the book to see if it had the little card. Or, right. They may not even do that anymore.
There's I don't know if chip, they do that. Yeah,
computer
exactly.
chip in the book
yeah.
now.
Just scan the barcode.
But, yep. you know, she didn't. All she thought was, oh, my gosh, this book is. How did this book get in our school system? Da-da.
So she jumps to conclusions.
The word gets out on the streets.
Well, wait a minute. Not quite like that. Because, you know, nowadays, you can't. Like, you haven't eaten lunch until you've taken a picture of it and posted it to Instagram, right?
Yeah, right.
So Miss Hughes
yeah, right. yeah.
posted a message on Facebook that her school library was distributing racist, sexist books.
Yeah, so, oh boy, that's going to, you know, you get racist, sexist books, school and together, and you got a billion hits.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, it becomes crazy on social media. So day three, social media explodes. And demands that the librarian be fired. The school librarian, who had absolutely nothing to do with any of this. Right?
But, you know, this is how these things happen.
Exactly. No, facts don't matter.
Facts don't matter. Hold on, wait a minute. Once the media gets the story that they want,
mm-hmm.
facts be damned.
Exactly. They're desperate for a story of a certain type. And once
yes,
they find a story that sort of fits that certain type, off they go.
Right.
So... social
and
media
the fact
demands...
that Pedro is Hispanic, boy, that really helps the story. Right,
that's right. Go yeah. ahead. Okay, so then Twitter the next day can't decide whether to blame Pedro.
I don't know. We treat Twitter like it's an thing. Entity, a person, right, with a mind of the. But it kind of works that way.
Sort of is. Yeah. So they can't decide whether to blame Pedro for reporting the book once he saw the N-word in the book, right?
Because well, for failing to report the book.
Failing to report. Eventually, they decide not to blame Pedro, but to question whether his parents were raising him in a healthy, progressive household.
Yes, because every parent needs to be reading every book that every yes. kid has in their hands.
And has to be lecturing their kids in all the politically correct dogmas so that they behave the way Twitter wants them to. So then we get to day five. This is getting a little crazy,
right.
but... Day five, both of Pedro's parents are called into human resources and enrolled in sensitivity classes.
Yes, I know it. I mean, what? They're like, what the heck is going on there? Well, shortly thereafter, yes, somebody actually thumbs through the book and realizes it has no markings that has anything to do with the school.
Right.
They asked Pedro again, and he said, yeah, you know, the little library book. And they're like, oh...
Right, but
my
then,
bad, but well, who cares now, right?
Right?
What are you going to do? Correction on page A7? The story's out there.
Right. And people are already in high lather about this. So they find out that the book came from the tiny library in his little town in Kensington.
Right.
And then it gets turned over to the local police because it's like a hate crime, right? And then they turn it over to the county police. Then it becomes a national story, and CNN puts it on air. And now...
CNN won't leave it alone.
Right.
Of course. And then, so now there's an investigation. They're like dusting the thing for fingerprints.
The FBI is
checking cameras in the neighborhood to see suspicious people. You know, fortunately, they haven't strung up poor Bob. or, I don't know, people... Bob seems like the kind of guy who wouldn't do this as a prank, as far as I can tell. Yeah, I think they're mostly buying the story that it was... inadvertent, but I'm sure there are enough people out there that going, I don't know, Bob, sounds like a white guy.
But, you know, with all the profiling that they can do, and, like, so they find out which tiny library it is in, and they find out They find some fingerprints and they start trying to put together a case. You know, maybe they'll leave Bob alone. So, okay. The next day, day six, the American Psychological Association donates a series of anti-racist, pro-gay, and pro-trans children books to the school
library. What are they even getting involved for?
Yes, and what does trans have to do with
that? I know. Well, the intersectionality means that everything is all on the same team.
Right.
And so the more intersectionality you can get going, somehow Flashman... I read the book. I don't recall him offending any
trans people. There were no trans people in 1830. So, okay. So then day seven, Pedro's parents wisely hire an attorney who reveals the true origin of the book.
Yeah. So we get that done and all right. So, can we just realize that
this was just all
it was all a big mistake, and it's a very local story, and we don't have to talk about this anymore, and the press can move on to more pressing matters.
No, because then day eight comes along and there's all these calls for legislation to regulate tiny libraries.
You're gonna put somebody in charge of monitoring what books go in, what books go out, making sure the books that go out are age appropriate. It's a birdhouse.
Well, we can't have all this hateful stuff being said out there.
Right, and of course, none of the politicians... Of course, it's totally unworkable, but when a politician gets the chance to stick his face in front of a camera and say, I won't stand for this, knowing that it's not going to go anywhere. So, but, you know,
they get out there and preen. So, okay. Then the author, day nine, the author, George MacDonald Fraser, becomes... the latest evil person.
Yeah, now, this guy who's well-reviewed, you see the review on the back of the book, there are famous writers going, this guy can really write.
Yeah.
And, you know what, he really can. It's a fun read if, you know, you get past the...
Get past some of the rougher edges.
some rougher 1960s.
And the main character, Flashman himself, is, you know, as you said, it's came out of a story. I didn't realize that there was some other series he was basing on, but yeah. I knew that he was some lousy kid, and the question is, what kind of an adult did he turn out to be? He turned out to be a lousy adult.
He's referred to as the anti-hero.
Yeah.
Because...
He's a coward.
He's a womanizer.
Right.
He's
a drunkard.
He's a drunkard. He will throw anybody under the bus.
Right.
But seeing him, so what is the appeal? I'm just going to take 1 second here. What is the appeal, and there is an appeal...
Of an anti-hero?
Of the anti-hero.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just kind of somebody to laugh at. And also
because he's in many ways, he has all of the characteristics of the hero outwardly. Because the things that he gets into and then gets out of, he does it in such a way that people consider him heroic for the way that, you know, from the time that he faked the duel to the time he pretended other people killed these guys, and he walks out with a bloody sword. So he really seems like he's a heck of a guy. So I guess you, as the reader, you're behind the scenes going, I know what this guy's really like, and he's getting away with murder.
But it's sort of the way for the cynic to say, yeah, all heroes, they're not really heroes, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're just.
It is mocking the genre a little bit.
Yes, it is.
But it's
kind of like the, you know, all priests are pedophiles, all Boy Scout leaders are pedophiles, you know, that kind of thing. It's almost like okay, we know what those guys are really like. Okay.
So he's got a
George MacDonald Fraser is a good author.
And he's got a huge fan base. And if you look out there, the novels are everywhere to buy, and some of them can be quite expensive. And he's been well reviewed by very highly respected writers.
But now, after the Flashman incident, anybody who's involved in any of these George Fraser appreciating societies, they're doxxed, they're picketed, they're fired, they're ostracized, they become public enemies.
So the people who were, these are people who are just sitting at home, reading a variety of books. They just happen to like the Flashman series, so it's kind of a Flashman fan club. Well, now, Anonymous or somebody gets into their database, finds out who's receiving the monthly newsletter.
Right.
I mean, whoa, you receive a newsletter
from somebody who used that word.
So, of course, they get doxxed.
Yes.
They're, people are going after their employers.
Yep.
their kids are being harassed at school. This guy's doing nothing but reading the Flashman books and signed up for a newsletter. It's nuts.
It's totally nuts. So then, day 10, social media demands that George MacDonald Fraser's heirs repudiate his works, that they come out and publicly repudiate them. His
But we've seen this 1,000 times. It doesn't help.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right, so you go out and you apologize and you
never
say you're wrong.
Never apologize to these people. No.
So you're going to be in the same position anyway. You might as well stand your ground.
Yeah, exactly. His grandchildren were actually kicked out of universities.
Oh, come on.
Because their tuition was paid for by proceeds from his work. So these proceeds from this work are now tainted.
Yes.
So they're taking
up space.
Yeah.
That should be going to people of color.
Well, actually, I heard that the university wanted to kick them out and replace them with Afghan refugees, since they were the ones who were called by the N-word in the book. Right?
Of course, I don't. It's probably never been translated into Afghani, and they've never heard of Fleischman.
No, they don't know anything about it whatsoever. Yeah.
But you know, this is part of the reparations that we're going.
Exactly right.
But there are other people offended on behalf of the Afghans.
Yes.
So this will solve it all.
This one was one that was a little confusing to me. There started to be Flashman book burnings. Right. Now, I wonder, did they like buy the book in order to burn it?
Right. It's right. So then the grandchildren are getting even richer while being
ostracized. Right. Now, the interesting thing was, after all this goes on, day 11, somebody in the woke universe finally reads the book.
What do you know?
Yeah. And finds
out... They didn't just flip through until they saw an offensive word.
Read it. Actually read the book. And finds out that the people in the book who were referred to by the N-word were Afghanis, who are white, Asian, and Indian people.
Plus the Indians themselves.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that creates this whole big problem on Twitter. Twitter is just confused. Like, okay, in America, the N-word has a certain historical connotation and everything. And here it's being used in this completely different sense. And people are just all confused about how are we going to deal with this.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Used in this 1830s British Empire kind of a way.
Right.
They have no context for.
And also it has absolutely nothing to do with black people. That's exactly. It's Afghans who, some of whom are Caucasian, some of whom, they have white, brown, and yellow, can I say that? you have whites.
That's great. It's a certain, and there's a certain ethnic minority that are the result of the Mongol invasion.
Yeah.
So you look
at Afghans, and some of them have red beards, blue eyes, all that sort of thing. All right, so Twitter's confused on day 12. Day 13, the British embassy is burned in Kabul, killing a family of squatters in empty buildings.
Yes, because the Brits are already gone. There's nobody left in the British embassy in Kabul.
Right.
So, yeah,
I don't know.
So good job there, guys.
Right. So I guess everybody's heard of the Flashman incident. We know about it because it was a local story, but it became national. CNN picked it up, and it's just quite the thing.
It's remarkable how something so simple can take on such proportions.
Yeah.
Without any real, without anybody supporting it for any reason at all. It's like once there's a certain amount of mob anger, there's no way of satisfying the mob until it just burns itself out. But what is it going to take to burn itself out? Who knows? Some burning, some apologies. You think it would take 2 days, but this has been going on way too long.
I know. Anyway. It's crazy. Yeah, okay. So that's the Flashman incident. And I guess you guys have read about it in the news. But if not,
right.
I mean, there's the summary.
And let us know what you think.
I know.
It's kind of weird.
It is strange that a book left in a tiny library could cause such a stir. But all right. So I think we have a letter to the editor that we wanted to discuss.
Okay.
We got a comment from a reader named Sam. And Sam's asked... Listen to the China episode.
China episode, right.
And was wondering...
What was the China...
The China episode was, generally speaking, it was about how they're cracking down on girly men representations. And and how they're trying to change the culture in Sam.
That the government is concerned about the culture, and they are going to, make sure that the nation has strong, virile, healthy young men to fight its wars and make babies.
Right.
Which is kind of the thing that you need.
Yeah, so Sam...
So here I am. I sound very pro-China when
exactly.
I say that.
Exactly, and that's the problem. Sam's worried about.
Yeah.
Sam thinks that we're coming out in favor of China kind of ruling the culture and from above manipulating the culture and forcing it to be a certain
way. I think what we're saying was that we have an appreciation for the impetus, for the concern.
Yes.
I get it.
This is one of those, people sometimes say the ends justify the means, you know, and this is one of those cases where we agree with the goal, but we don't agree with the way that they're trying to do it.
But I get the means, but the more important thing is putting it into current perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If I did justify the means also, that means I would allow this Biden administration to be in charge of culture and what goes on the screen
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No,
just,
we're not.
So you get to, you're, they're going to get to, they get to censor books. Well, this government, big tech partnership.
Right.
Is already doing that.
Yes.
So imagine if it was just straight out in the open. Like you just, we don't need, they are straight out in the open. They do tell big tech, you need to censor this. But let's just say it was bigger than that, and they were going to say, all right, we don't need any patriotic films. We don't need any... that's why, in the sense of being pro that, I'd be like, yeah, if the government was pro its own country, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
But this administration, would be the apology government.
Apology tour.
Telling schools what they can teach. America is bad. Hollywood movies that can come out, TVs, I don't know, that looks awfully patriotic. Let's tone that down a little bit. That's a little bit too cisgender. We need some more trans over here. So, yeah, I agree. Yes, Sam, you're right. We do not want that for a variety of reasons. And we didn't mean to give the impression that we thought that government government at the head of culture.
No, that's not what we're promoting. We just think that it's good that somebody's actually thinking about things that are good for the culture.
Yes.
We don't want that way of promoting.
No, we don't need to know that authoritarian view.
All right, so we have a man of the week, and this, you guys might have heard of this guy. This is a Florida man, and Florida man...
he gets a bad rap.
I know, Florida man gets a bad rap, and you see a lot of Florida man stuff where, Florida man does something stupid.
It's always the worst thing.
And here Florida man... Eugene Bozzi, 26, an Army vet. there was an alligator in his yard.
This, it's, I would say, 5 to 6 feet.
It's right? not an insignificant alligator.
It's not.
No. And he just takes a trash can.
And you could hear all the neighbors in the background, way in the background.
Yeah.
Having no one, no parts of this.
Right. Yeah. And he takes this trash can and basically... moves the trash can towards the alligator.
Make a weird hissing sound.
Yeah, that's weird.
Very unpleasant.
And they're fast. Did you know an alligator can outrun a horse?
What?
Yeah, they're fast.
They got stubby little legs.
I know, but they're fast as can be. So he pushes this thing forward and gets a little bit of the alligator into the trash can.
It's funny, when he flips the lid over...
For some reason, it goes in
instead of backing out, because he was only head deep.
Yeah.
He still had 3/4 of his body was outside the trash can.
Yeah.
When the lid flips over and hits him in his back, he scurries into the can.
And then Eugene grabs
I guess Eugene's done this before. Or,
I don't know.
Right? I mean, he seemed very... He's like... Because he's telling everyone, let me know when the head gets in. And when it does, he flips the lid and boom, 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 boom. He flips
the thing up and you got an alligator stuck in your trash can.
All right. Now, this is what bothers me the most.
All right.
I'm thinking he's now going to call DNR and have this thing taken to some far-off place. Where does he take it?
I didn't read that.
Oh, you didn't see it? You didn't see watch the end of the thing?
No.
To the lake across the street from
his house. Oh, my gosh!
So his house is here, there's a road, and then there's a hill, there's no houses in front of him.
Yeah.
There's a hill to a lake that's just sitting right there.
Well,
he takes it down there, it's like 50 yards from the house.
So I used to work I used to work with a company that had an office in Tampa, and I went down to Tampa all the time. And the people in Tampa would tell you, any body of water in Florida,
I would not golf in Florida,
probably going to have an alligator in it. Right? You just have to assume that any body of water. So you don't take your small dog. You certainly don't take your children close to the edge of one of these lakes, because you know an alligator might be. So I guess he's just thinking, well, it's going to be there sooner or later.
It's going to be sooner or later. Yeah.
But what a manly thing to do.
Amazing.
I'm pretty impressed by good old Eugene Bozzi.
Eugene Bozzi. You are the man of the week.
Man of the week. Thanks so much for listening to Beer in Conversation with Pigweed and Crowhill. Remember to visit us at pigweedandcrowhill.com or send us an email at pigweedshow@gmail.com.